It's gentle and Boleyn.
Becoming heat, becoming steam.
Becoming luminescent glee.
Atom splinter sparkling.
Alive and nimble symmetry.
And all along this glistening.
Blankets, we and everything.
Shadows dance triumphantly.
Wordless whisper, sighs and pleas.
Little ducks envelop thee.
You and I in a flame make three.
You and I in a flame make three.
You and I in a flame make three. And you are not glassy bay to me. And you are not glassy bay to me. Though my tired fleet abides in your gentle breeze. And you are now vast and open sea. And my mind travels you endlessly. And you beckon, toss and toss and swallow me.
October mess.
Everybody likes October because it's you get to do so much fun stuff in October.
Like?
Eat birds and dress up.
And listen to Hot Mess.
This is true.
The live radio show. We're more than just a radio show or a podcast. We're an extra sensory delight.
A family, really.
It is a family.
Yeah. Super ultra dysfunctional. Awesome family.
We're a family of men and women. That's a 70s funk jam. We're excited to have a contributor to hotmess.org.
Hello, Ambrosia.
Hello.
In the house.
I know.
Ambrosia, you write.
I do write.
You write many a jaunty article for hotmess.org. Exploring various topics, and people come and read your articles and then comment on your articles more than any other writer on our blog. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you. I think you broke that down. I don't think you could have broken it down any further than you did, but it's, I think one thing that people don't get about coming on Hot Mess is seeing how good looking everybody is. People should not be on radio.
I know. It's really a tragedy.
Somebody should be watching this magic happen.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, we're gonna take it up a notch in 2010. Look for us.
Well, we haven't. I did a couple video blogs, so people know.
Mm-hmm.
People are starting to know. People are starting to learn.
Yeah.
Jay needs to put some of his handsomeness up on the web, but.
Well, thank you very much. We're just a little bit behind on the curve. Video blogging's pretty hot right now.
It is. Video blogging so hot right now.
We're just catching up. But
true.
Sisters, let me tell you, and and brothers out there in Radio Land, man, once you come see some of Blontron's video blogs at hotmess.org, you'll laugh, you'll cry.
She cried.
I did
and
cry.
And it was so authentic. Like, I've seen Blontron crying.
You have.
Unfortunately.
One time, once.
Just
when
once.
I broke a nail.
And no. It was as dramatic
it
as
was
that one.
It was that dramatic.
So in case you're wondering, you tapped into that energy when you were acting in your video blog.
I did. I am. I just, in case everybody's wondering what I'm chewing on, it's Smarties. Because it's Halloween almost, and mm-hmm. I'm getting ready by eating candy in tiny, tiny packages.
You're preparing your stomach for the mass amounts of sugar you're going to be consuming in a couple weeks?
Pretty much.
This is like candy appetizer?
Exactly. Well, it's a candy appetizer. That's exactly what these small candy things are. Except when I grew up on a really small island, like very small, it's called Cortez, and everybody's driveways are like 5 kilometers long. And they are so effing long. And you hike and you hike just to get to some sea breeze, wind feathers yurt on the top of a hill, praying to God that they're going to be home and they're going to have something not vegan to give you to munch on, trekking up
just to get that
mountainous
sweet,
trails,
sweet, delicious candy,
dressed as a giant tube of toothpaste because you thought it was clever, regretting every moment of it, branches hitting you in the face. Yeah, so on Cortez, they don't give out small candies. And if you do, there's a very good chance your yurt will be teepeed. And so people give out full chocolate bars. In some cases, my grandma, she even, because she only ever got like 6 trick-or-treaters. And so she'd give out like pies and like whole hand-sewn gift bags and stuff.
Wow.
I know. It's a big deal.
You tell so many of these island stories that I'm actually scared to ever go there.
You don't have to ever go there, though.
No.
There's like 3 or 4 or 5 or 10
not
ferries
even,
to get there.
Yeah, there's like 700 ferries to get there.
But I'm imagining once I get there, it's going to kind of be like Where the Wild Things Are, my own personal version of Where the Wild Things Are, that instead of monsters, there's giant organic pies.
This is true.
And pot smokers.
It is like that, because the thing is about Cortez, there's no police there. So
what?
Yeah, you can hand out things like pies without having Lululemon-wearing mothers get freaked out that you've laced the pie, because there's a very good chance that the pie is laced, and everybody's okay with that.
And when there's no cops, you can also throw the pie directly in someone's face without fear of reprisal.
My only issue with Halloween candy is raisins, because that's not candy.
Even covered in chocolate?
Even covered in... Well, they're okay, but...
Does that bother you as much as cupcakes?
The worst are the people that write about how Halloween is not Christian on their door. Those are the worst people. Do you remember those people?
No.
Every neighborhood had one. You go to knock on the door.
Right.
And it's like, Halloween is a pagan, blah, 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 blah. Christ wouldn't be trick-or-treating.
It's all Halloween.
I have it on good authority that Jesus would totally go trick-or-treating.
Because...
I think, personally.
And he'd go back again and wear a different Halloween costume and do a round two.
Yeah, he would, for sure.
Yeah.
Well,
anyways.
I don't know. I think I have Halloween pretty in the bag with my mom. Like, my mom's idea of a Halloween costume was putting a unitard on her children and wrapping them in electrical tape of some color that she could attribute to an animal. So,
yeah, so what were you, a bumblebee or something?
I was a bumblebee. And
she
then,
didn't think about the fact that you might have to go to the bathroom. She just, like, covered her in tape. And then she had to go pee.
And I had a little bit of chub, so you couldn't see some of the lines, so they didn't quite match up.
It was great.
Humiliation from day one.
Oh, yeah. It builds character.
At what point for girls, I've got a couple females in the studio, so I'm just going to throw this out there. At what point is the transition made from cute female Halloween costume like Princess or Bumblebee?
To complete slut?
Yeah. When did at what age does that happen for some women? Because I've noticed it trending more and more as the years go on. the clothes are getting skimpier and skimpier on Halloween. Listen, you know, fellas out there, I don't want you calling in and complaining, saying, what are you doing, man? You're going to ruin Halloween for us. I'm just trying to figure it out.
I think it happens in junior high.
I'd say junior high. And then it becomes more accessible.
Yeah. I remember rolling up my field hockey skirt and being a cheerleader. And I'm wearing it down to my knees to leave the house and then just rolling it up. So bad.
It's such a sexy holiday.
It's not going away either.
Do we have sexy music to listen to?
Oh, man. We might. I'll have to find some. What I was going to play, which isn't necessarily sexy, and I'm playing all this sexy funk music right now, is my absolute favorite song right now. I just posted it up on our blog, hotmess.org. It's by The XX, which is this just phenomenal band from the UK. They're going to be playing out here in November, so hopefully we can try and get an interview with them. But this song definitely is like Take to a Desert Island material.
Groovy.
For me. So this is Crystallized by The XX on hotmess.org.
Also known as 20.
As 20?
Well, the Roman numeral 10, twice. Okay.
Good.
We went through this with your mom when she was in the studio not long ago.
Oh, this is very true. I forgot already. All right, here it is, Crystallized on Hot Mess.
Go slow. Go.
Crystal Castles there for you as well. But how do you like that? How do you like that song?
By the XX?
By the XX.
Yeah, the XX has just become one of my new bands of interest.
Yeah, 2009. They're really, 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 really good, right?
Sexy song.
Yeah, I'm really glad that I'm going to be one of the things that you're going to bring to an island, because then I get that song too.
Yeah. Oh, am I? Did you just invite yourself into my list of five things?
Yes, I did.
Well, you would be there, don't worry.
You would bring Ambrosia to the island?
Yeah.
Ambrosia, I had you for Thanksgiving dinner.
You did.
What I didn't realize was that there's a dish that goes by the same name as you. It's a dessert dish with marshmallows and fruit in it, a little bit of coconut.
And
it's called Ambrosia.
Yeah.
So now I know there's three Ambrosias. You. Thanksgiving dessert Ambrosia, and also the 70s band Ambrosia.
They are my favorite other Ambrosia.
Wait, isn't there a custard from the UK?
There is. There's like a, it's like a tapioca rice pudding kind of thing that's quite popular over there, but they call it Ambrosia.
Ambrosia.
Which kind of makes me blush a little.
Aw.
I like it.
I like it. Mm. Not to be confused with Decrosia.
Indeed.
Which is the opposite of Ambrosia. Decrosia.
Did you just make that word up?
Jay hyped me up and you griped me down.
Sorry, I think it's funny. Decrosia. the crozier salad.
We've got so much more show coming up for everybody to listen to here on CITR 101.9 FM, including...
You like gingers.
I love a gingery damsel in distress.
We have a red... We have some... You caught up with this fiery redheaded girl.
She's more of an orange.
Okay, orange.
An orange head than a redhead.
Well, they're all orange. No one ever really has ready red hair.
Oh, really?
But it's just red rhymes with head, so it's just how it works out.
Yeah, she was a delightful little orange-headed pixie. Of course, we're talking about Haley, the lead singer of Paramore. And I had a chance to catch up with that band and talk about all kinds of goodness.
Well, why don't we share that with everybody?
Including her orange hair.
Including her ridiculously orange hair.
Word. So why don't you check this out? This Paramore interview.
I'm standing here with all five members of Paramore, including one nicknamed SpongeBob.
Yeah, that's me. Unfortunately. I'm in the business of misery. Let's take it from the top.
She's got a body like an hourglass. It's ticking like a clock. How'd you get that nickname?
Ask him.
Haley has a tiny gap in between her front teeth. And so does SpongeBob.
It's spun out of control. There's nothing I can do about it.
Sorry about that.
Here we are in Vancouver. It's nice. I was saying that it's pretty hot. You guys disagree, but you're from Tennessee.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm always cold.
What's the most popular misconception about Tennessee?
It's the country music capital of the world, but so it makes everyone thinks that everyone just walks around wearing cowboy hats and just being hillbillies.
Which
like
a lot
that.
Of people do, and it's amazing.
Yes.
But
it's like only on certain streets. Like only certain streets that you go on will be like all country. It's like every kind of every style of music.
Is it totally out of the realm of possibility that one day Paramore will cut a country record and play the Grand Ole Opry?
I wish.
Dude, let's do that.
Like, awesome. Yeah, we want to play the Grand Ole Opry so bad.
That probably might kick ass.
We'll do it. We're already doing it right now.
It's done. Because of me? Because I suggested it?
Yeah. Look at that.
I feel like I'm the sixth member of the band. Since 2007 and the release of your album Riot, I want to know how many riots you've actually incited.
Well, we had to kick a guy off of our bus, literally. There were people just running at our bus, and we were just driving, but they were getting into the door because they opened the door while we were driving.
It was like being attacked by zombies, and you're trying to get away, and they're all still trying to climb in the door. Yeah, it was really creepy. Real weird.
And Ronnie, our sound guy, who was our tour manager at the time, did like a Indiana Jones swing from the doorway and kick the guy in the stomach, and he just goes, "Oh!" and he like fell out of the bus. That felt a little bit like what I would imagine being in the middle of a riot would feel like.
You guys know that Vancouver's famous for rioting, yeah?
Yes.
One time Guns N' Roses said they were going to play here, and then they didn't show up, and the city went crazy. So if you guys don't take the stage tonight, there could be trouble.
Shoot.
Uh-oh. We should try it just to see what happens.
I know. Now I'm just interested in that, really.
Just the rioting. It's crazy.
All right, let me ask you this. When Riot came out, you guys said that you wanted to blow people's minds with this album. I think you were fairly successful in doing so. I have to know if this is true. One person specifically, one John Mayer.
John Mayer, yes.
Is it true that he called you the Great Orange Hope?
It's true. It's in black and white on his blog. He wrote that. He said that I'm the Great Orange Hope. I don't really agree, but hey, I'll take it.
Can we borrow your dogs for the interview?
Yes. Right.
Thank you.
Hold on.
Oh my God.
Look how cute you are.
Let's talk about sweet moves on stage. How important are like sweet, awesome moves?
They're fun to watch, but it's only important to us if one of us falls because it gives us something to laugh at.
Here's all right. I've got a list of sweet moves and just like go. Just I need a unanimous yes or no if these are sweet moves.
Okay.
The scissor kick.
Yes, but I like the herky.
What's that?
It's a cheerleading move.
Okay, let's see it.
The herky?
I can't do it.
Herky?
I'm not a cheerleader, but it's like...
That's not bad.
That's rock and roll.
You know that we're going to slow-mo that, right?
You don't have to slow-mo anymore.
The fist pump?
Yes.
So good.
It has to happen.
The punk rock bounce?
Yes, we do that.
Yes. I do that on stage.
The David Lee Roth?
He does a lot of
things. Yeah. Really? He does a lot of things. Here you are, playing with No Doubt. So how's it been? What's this been like for you guys?
It's been a dream. They're all amazing. Like they're so good at what they do, and they're so nice. They just love music, and they don't have to be doing a tour right now. They don't have to be making another record. Like they can literally just sit back and watch people, you know, still be buying the records forever.
Have a great show tonight with No Doubt here in Vancouver. I'm gonna go down the line and high five you out.
The sixth member of the band.
See you later, guys.
You're so cool, Jay.
I know.
Oh, stop.
But I have one question.
Yes.
How come you never told them you ate them for Thanksgiving?
Because if there was a Thanksgiving dish called orange-headed small girl from Tennessee, then I would have said that.
I think you should say it to everybody because it kind of blew my socks off. I was kind of like, I did not sign up for this. What's going on?
I need to meet more friends named Turkey and Stuffing.
Stuffing,
if your name is Stuffing and you're out there, give me a shout. I want to be your friend. So I can say, I ate you for Thanksgiving.
The lady is like that.
I just want to eat you up. Sorry, I just got really creepy there.
There's so much sexual innuendo. It's
so
palpable.
Much. Yeah, it's true. True story. Well, that was cool.
That was cool.
I'm not really into that kind of music, but that was cool. John Mayer is, apparently.
Yeah. We just like playing music. We like playing interviews with big name rock stars on our show, even if we don't necessarily like their music, because we want to draw you in and then tease you and then give you music that we think is cool that we hope you like.
Exactly.
Is that a fair assessment of our situation?
I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
Yeah, brainwashing.
Yeah.
Definitely the way
you
to do it.
You think you like this, but actually you like this.
Yeah. Kablamo!
Like, perhaps maybe the song that I'm about to play?
Do tell.
It's the Money. It's Money. It's off the NASA album, and it's a remix by The Count of Monte Cristo.
Fantastical.
Big like giant, and you're small like the wolf. Small like the wolf, and you're big like giant. $50 bills, so that's a useless grant. $100 bill of Benjamin Franklin. Out on the street, there is a lot of killing. Fighting, fussing, blood is spilling. All over the world, man, they are grinning.
Whoa, kick down. 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 Whoa, kick down.
Cops, go, 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 go,
Newly released, just out in the last couple weeks, from FOMO, War Dance. Stellar dance track.
Isn't it War Dance?
War Dance. War Dance.
It's amazing.
There's no W in that word, by the way.
War Dance.
Big dance floor killer. Before that, we had... what did we have? We had War Dance. We had... Cops by Brian Cox. Another big track, we had The Money remix by Count of Monte Cristo.
Fresh,
funky, fresh.
Every time you play awesome tracks like that, I always envision like college kids dancing around their dormitory rooms in their underwear.
That's a good thing. I hope you're imagining girl college kids.
Well, whoever.
Whoever, okay.
Guy or girl, as long as they're, you know, they've been. Maybe they've been working out. Maybe they're or they still have the freshman 15.
Yeah.
But I don't really care. I just want to know that they're dancing so hard that they felt like they needed to take off all their clothes.
That's because it was that hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, we are out at UBC campus.
Just do
so,
that.
I mean, hopefully if there are some kids. Hey, if you're dancing in your underwear right now, you should call us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let us know all about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Anyways.
We were before
speaking of dancing and music.
Wow.
Oh, nice segue.
Thanks. Well, Ambrosia and I were here talking about, while you were DJing, we were talking about musicals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How I really need a ticket to go and see Evil Dead the Musical, which is going to be here in Vancouver starting on October the 20th.
How do you make that into a musical?
I don't know, but a guy singing with a chainsaw for a hand, destroying zombie demon people from beyond the abyss? Sounds like a winner to me.
It sounds like they're like reworking the musical, which needs to be done.
Yeah, I really hate musicals. Yeah.
Every movie that's now being made into a musical is like ruining lives.
Or how about the Spider-Man musical? Thank you, U2. U2 is making a Spider-Man musical. I don't know if they're just doing the music or what the deal is, but U2 is responsible for a Spider-Man musical.
What?
Together at last.
How can you even combine those two?
I don't know. You two needs to retire, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But also, how about...
Oh, the phones are going to start ringing. Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, get out while you're on top, right?
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
How great was Get on Your Boots? Take the candy away.
Andrew Lloyd Webber is rolling over in his grave.
Sam is making the candy appetizer into an entree.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's true. I love candy. But no, I think musicals suck, and I think it's about time that we have some cool musicals.
Yeah, so...
Like, MJ did, like, cool musicals.
Okay.
The late great. Don't you think?
Like Captain EO or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't watch a lot of musicals, but I think they kind of, like, peaked at Cats, personally. Like, that... I don't like story through song, but no. I don't mind watching that.
I wish that someone would create the musical that they made on The Simpsons, which was Planet of the Apes, the musical, with a delightful little number that goes like this. I hate every ape I see, from chimpanzee to chimpanzee.
That was clever.
They'll never make a monkey out of me.
Are you auditioning, Jay?
Yeah, I am.
We're just putting it out there. Just putting it out there.
All right. That's my 2 cents on musicals.
Yeah, I'm not a big musical fan.
Do you have other stuff that you want to gripe about?
Oh, yeah.
In our most popular segment ever created by a human being on radio. Hardly. With blonde hair named Blondtron.
Gripe and hype.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun.
God, people can't see the arm pumping, no, but I think that's got to be part of it. We should give you a bell.
I should, like, so people know when I'm moving and pumping my arms.
Yeah.
Just like a cat. Anyways, friskies. Gripe. Should I start with gripe or hype? I like to start with the gripe and then bring it back up to the hype.
Right.
Okay. So let me get my notes here on what I'm griping about. Peanut allergies. WTF. Why is everyone allergic to peanuts these days? When did we all become such pussies? I want to eat my PB&J on the bus without worrying about killing someone. The human race is breeding itself into a bunch of skinny-fingered, antibacterial freak shows. It's time to build up our tolerance. Go lick a doorknob, scrub yourself down with a urinal cake, and quit your whining. Buy a bow and arrow and kill an animal, then roast it on a fire and wear its pelt. Man up.
Wow.
Having said that, it's unfortunate. I think it's quite unfortunate if someone is so allergic to peanuts that it might actually kill them.
I do know some people that are allergic to peanuts.
Not that we're not sensitive to that plight, but I understand what you're saying is that there's just so many. It seems that type of allergy is just becoming more rampant, and that people are more readily getting ill because of things like gluten,
dairy,
right, and eggs and what have you.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous world.
It's ridiculous.
Everything's like hyphen free.
Yeah.
Like gluten free. Dairy free.
And I don't want to know what it's like to be a kid coming home at recess for a snack and not being able to have the classics like PB&J sandwich or maybe even peanut butter on a celery stick.
Yeah. With ants on a log when you put the little raisins on there.
Ants on a log.
No, there's peanut free schools now in elementary.
No, all schools are peanut free now. Well, it's just ridiculous. I'm allergic to bees, but you don't see me making a big fuss about it.
I also don't see you hanging around any beehives either.
I like honey, and I don't go after bees. Exactly. Anyways.
All right.
My hype.
Your hype.
My hype is a little, everything's offside, I guess, but hype. Gastrointestinal problems. It sounds bad, but at least you're not collecting the calories of that shit piece of megabyte you ate last night. Even if you don't have mud butt, it's the hottest office excuse of 2009. I don't know any bosses that are going to dig too deep into your excuse of spraying dirt.
That was poetry.
Can you write, can you post this on our blog,
can you make that into a limerick? Spring dirt.
Wow. It's true, though, because, I mean, everybody's trying to lose weight. And nothing like a little stomach bug to get it all out.
To rip your abs?
Yeah, to rip your... And, I mean, and it is a lot of work sometimes holding yourself down.
Listen, if you eat... I know from experience. If you eat cheese really fast, there's no way that that's going to... Well, I mean, depending... rich creamy sauces. Sometimes things just have the potential to move right through you. You know what I mean? Wow. Everyone's always like, "Hey, man, what's the deal? Are you like, you got your two scoops of All Bran in the morning?" And I'm like, "What?"
I think that that it's like the new Master Cleanse. People are just like, you know, they're not going on the Wild Rose. They're not doing anything like that. They're just like. Natural.
I heard some girls, natural and this is pretty bad. This is pretty degrading and shallow, but I heard some girls in a washroom a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to just replay it for you. Yeah, so Sally, she lost like 20 pounds with that cold, and God, I was trying to sip out of her pop the other night because Lord knows I could use it. See? Wow. So gastrointestinal disorders are hot.
Yeah. Did you ask her what she was going to be for Halloween?
No, but I think it might be a nurse.
I don't think she'll be wearing panties on Halloween.
Doubt it.
Just gonna just bet putting the farm
it out there.
On that.
Putting it out there. Anyways,
provocative, provocative conversation.
Wait,
once
this was
again.
Supposed to be a hype, so we turned it into a great.
No, it's hype. It's hype. It's all the rage right now.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah. Like hey, if you don't have gastrointestinal disorder or dysfunction or an issue,
yeah,
go get it.
Get some.
Eat forget H1N1.
No, just
cheese, you really move me.
Get a stomach bug. It's
hot. Let's make a musical called
Stomach Bugs.
Stomach Bugs or Gastrointestinal Disorders.
And,
well,
and but it's from the point of view of the actual bugs in the stomach.
Totally.
And they're living in your intestines singing songs about moving on down the line and such.
They're video blogging.
I feel like Burning Ring of Fire might be the finale.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
exactly. Anyways, we just talk about caca here on Hot Mess.
Yep.
That's about it. We also listen to cool music.
We do.
Yeah. Chufu, regular remixer, really amazing DJ. Yeah, he did a little MJ remix, which I just feel like I'm just going to play it right now. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Timely. Don't you think?
I think it is pretty timely. Yeah.
Don't say timely and then you're screwing me up.
I thought that the question mark at the end was implied.
Okay.
Yeah, fine. Suggested.
Here it is.
Michael Jackson remix. It's gonna moonwalk all over your face. My man Diddy and the Jackson 5. Yeah, you know it's classic. I got you, Diddy. I got you, son. You ain't got shit.
Word up, palms out, remix Sunday, beginning in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Bad Boy is in your area.
I want your back.
Brooklyn.
Let's go.
Brooklyn.
Thank you.
Friday night. And everybody likes Friday night.
With a little bit of retro disco dance boogie.
Boogie bangers.
Yep. It was a good show tonight, ladies.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming down, Ambrosia.
Yeah, you're a real peach. Everybody should check out all the stuff Ambrosia writes on our blog because it's hilarious.
That is hotmess.org. We are the hot and messy ones. And we'll see you, I guess, next Friday.
Probably.
From 6 to 7/7:30.
Perhaps.
Right here on 101.9 FM.
Night.
I'm Shani from NEPSI. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hey, we're J+J+J, and I bet you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
The sitar.
We call it that. Do you?
You should. Unless you don't like sitars.
Are You Aware presents Vancouver's third annual Music for Change. Come out to party with Catlow, The Wintermitts, Piper Davis, and DJ Blondtron as they rock out in support of Oxfam's campaign for women's rights and climate change. Saturday, October 17th at the Biltmore Cabaret. Doors are at 6 p.m. Get there early as the show starts at 7. Curfew is 10:45. Tickets are available from Zulu Records, Scratch Records, Red Cat Records, or online at clubzone.com.
Stop. Collaborate and listen.
CITR 101.9 and Glory Days present Halloween the Boner. Saturday, October 31st, 2009 at the Biltmore Cabaret and the Astoria. Party 1 at the Biltmore will have performances by Fandef, special guests from Los Angeles, Jeremy J, and special guests from Germany, Circle Square, with DJs Maggie Husband, Sincerely Hana, and Jeannie. Party 2 at the Astoria will feature No Gold and Bogus Togus Live, with night shift DJs Tyler Fedchuk and Justin G. Doors are at 9 p.m. and the parties go till late, with a $250 best costume prize at each party. Tickets for both shows available at Zulu, Scratch, and Red Cat Records. Brought to you by CITR, Color Magazine, Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Lindsay'sDiet.com, ChalkedUp.com, and Glory Days, happening every Saturday at the Biltmore from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m.
The following is a live presentation of CITR Sports. This is UBC Thunderbirds Hockey on CITR 101.9 FM. Now in the CITR studio, Tyler Noble.
The UBC Thunderbirds men's hockey team hosts the Canada West leading Manitoba Bisons in their home opening series this weekend at the Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Sports Center here on CITR Sports Friday. Good evening and welcome inside CITR Studio 1. I am Tyler Noble. Well, UBC came off a very successful first weekend in Regina in which they took 3 out of a possible 4 points with a 4-1 win last Friday, followed up by a 3-2 shootout loss to the Cougars. But they will have a very formidable opponent in their home opening weekend here this weekend as the Bisons are the last remaining undefeated team in the conference. They opened their season with 2 wins against both Saskatchewan and Lethbridge. Standing by, getting set to call the game, the usual men's hockey duo here on CITR 101.9 FM, Mike Wall and Daryl Wiener. Guys.
Thank you very much, Tyler. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the newly named Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Sports Center. I'm Michael Wall along with Daryl Wiener, and we are just a few minutes away, maybe about 25 minutes away from UBC opening their home season here against the Manitoba Bisons. As Tyler mentioned, UBC 101 coming into this weekend with a very solid road effort last weekend against the Regina Cougars. However, as Tyler also mentioned, we are facing UBC that is facing a very tough Manitoba team, perhaps a surprise Manitoba team, as they come in to this game undefeated 4-0, including a sweep against the number 7 ranked Saskatchewan Huskies. Daryl, not like previous years here, where UBC had brought in 8 to 10 new players in those previous 2 years. This year, Daryl, just a few key additions to this UBC Thunderbird hockey team.
Yeah, you know,
maybe mention a couple of those guys. And Daryl, and also a new theory, perhaps, in the way the coaching staff went about recruiting this year.
Yeah, you know, Michael, it's the first home game of the year for UBC. Different look in the Canada West this year in the playoff picture. Normally, 6 of the 7 teams make it. This year, that is cut by 2. Only 4 of the 7 teams will make it. So it's going to be a lot harder to get in. Recruiting-wise, yeah, Milan Dragicevic, it is a different look in his recruits this year, and it's one that I'm definitely excited for. Normally, he said, you know, you go out and you try to find those skilled players. Well, this year, he's used this term, culture of winning, for who he's brought into the UBC Thunderbirds. 3 forwards we're all going to see tonight. They're all featured on different lines. 2 former captains, 2 guys that have won championships at either the BCHL level or the Memorial Cup Championship, and 1 guy who's played in a Memorial Cup final. You've got Scott Wasden. He's going to be centering the 3rd line for UBC. Former captain in the Western Hockey League, lost in a Memorial Cup Championship. On the 2nd line, you're going to have Max Grassi playing on the wing. 2-time BCHL championship in 06 and 07 with the Burnaby Express and Nanaimo Clippers. Won that championship with the Burnaby Express with Kyle Turris. He can score 162 points in 161 regular season games. And the one we're most excited for, Michael, he had 2 points in the games versus Regina last weekend. A big game tying goal on Saturday night. Justin McCray, 4th round pick of the Carolina Hurricanes, won the Memorial Cup Championship in 2008 with the Spokane Chiefs. He was a captain for Spokane. And this is a guy, we're told, is a very solid two-way player. So, yeah, Milan Dragicevic, he said, I'm not just going for the most skilled players, not to say these guys aren't skilled, but I really want to bring a culture of winning to the UBC Thunderbird lineup.
And Daryl, on defense, no new faces on defense. However, 1 player last year, Daryl, we didn't see very much of. Theron Yeo out most of last season with a knee injury. He did play very well in UBC's postseason run. He's a very, very key addition to have for this entire season if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, Theron Lowe last year, Michael, only got into 10 games for UBC, got 2 goals, no assists in those 10 games. Well, Milan Dragicevic said he might have been his best player in the playoffs last year. UBC, of course, winning that dramatic first round before losing to Saskatchewan in round 2. In the 5 playoff games last year, Theron Yeo had 2 goals, 2 assists for 4 points, and Milan Dragicevic says he's healthy this year. He's going to be playing on the first team power play unit, so that's a guy to look out for, Mike Theron Yeo. Also on defense, UBC's going to need a bounce back year from Craig Lineker. First year, 17 points here for the Thunderbirds in 28 games. Solid effort at the blue line. Last year, only 8 points in 25 games for Lineker. This year, off to a good start. Goal and an assist for 2 points in Regina last weekend. And he was a +3. So that's the guy I'm looking for. UBC's going to need a bounce back year scoring-wise from defenseman Craig Lineker.
And finally, Daryl, in net, Francois Thuot shared goaltending duties through his first 3 seasons with Jerry Festa. Jerry Festa, of course, has graduated and has moved on. So it's Frankie's team this year, Daryl, and he played very well in the first weekend against Regina.
Yeah, 1-0-1 with a 1.44 goals against average, .952 save percentage versus Regina. UBC, of course, won the first game 4-1, lost 3-2 in a shootout on Saturday night. Frankie stopped 2 of those 3 shootout players, but here's a guy, Michael, you mentioned, 4th-year player. Started UBC's last 12 regular season games in 2009. He started all their playoff games, but he didn't end the year on a very high note. In both losses to Saskatchewan in the 2nd round of the playoffs, he was yanked for Jerry Festa in both of those games. But hey, week 1, very good for Frankie Thuot. 1-0-1, 1.44 GAA. And you know, Mike, UBC's taking on a team tonight. The Manitoba Bisons off to an outstanding start. They are 4-0 to start the season, and you look at their net play. You look at their goals against in those first four games. 2-0 is going to have to be tough tonight.
Absolutely. Manitoba, UBC actually played very well against them last year. A record of 3-1, including two wins here at was then called just the Thunderbird Arena. And they're going to need a good start here tonight as there's looks like there's going to be a decent crowd out here at the Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Sports Center.
Yeah, in net for Manitoba, Mike. You got to talk about this guy there. 4-0 to start the year, Steve Christie. Last year, he was second team in the Canada West. He led all CIS goalies in games and minutes played. Off to a brilliant start this year in net. You can't beat these numbers. 4-0 in the four games, 9.59 save percentage. He has a shutout and a goals against average of 1.25. In the four games Manitoba's played thus far, all at home ice, they have not played a road game yet. Manitoba has only yielded 5 goals. So UBC, which likes to grind away out there, sure gonna have to grind away this weekend. It's gonna be tough for UBC. But you know, Michael, they got the 3 points last weekend in Regina on the road. It's a good start. Let's see if they can keep it going here this weekend.
Absolutely. We're just about 15 minutes away from opening faceoff here. We'll send it back to the studio. Back to you, Tyler.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike. And Daryl, we'll come back to you at the bottom of the hour. Definitely a weekend, last weekend in Regina, that the head coach, Milan Dragicevic, was pleased with. As mentioned, 3 out of a possible 4 points. He spoke with Daryl Wiener earlier this week on Wiener's Barbecue.
Coach, tell us about the weekend. 4-1 win in Regina on the Friday. You got outshot a lot in that game. Your goalie, Francois Thouault, looked like he played very good. And then a 3-2 shootout loss on Saturday. So you got 3 out of the 4 points. Your assessment of the weekend?
You know, I thought we came out really hard on Friday night. We scored 2 goals, I believe, in the first 7 minutes and jumped on them and never really looked back. When they pressured us, some of their shots or a lot of their shots came from the outside. I thought our defense did a pretty good job of clearing out rebounds. And we played better in the second and third period on Friday. You know, we were fortunate. Campos got a couple of really goal-scoring goals, and what I mean by that is, you know, he picked the spots and he shot, and that's what goal scorers do, and we've been waiting for Campos to do that, and he did that in scoring 2 goals, and Frankie Thouault made some really good saves. Defense and penalty killing are really strong in front of him. Saturday, I actually thought, for the most part, we played better on Saturday than we did the whole game on Friday. It's just, but somehow the score doesn't show it, but you know we kept them to 8 shots in the last 2 periods on Saturday night, but you know we just couldn't score. We had enough opportunities, especially in the shootout overtime. We had a power play with 2 minutes left to go in a game, and we could not find the back of the net. And I give the Regina a lot of credit; their goalie was outstanding on Saturday night. Overall, if you would have said before the weekend, would we have taken 3 out of 4? We probably would have taken that, but when you're that close, you definitely want the 4 out of 4.
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned Brandon Campos, 2 goals and an assist on the weekend. Dalton Pajak is line mate, 3 assists. Your top line, assess their play, Justin McCray, Tyler Rule, and Jeff Lynch, who's going to be on with us shortly. Justin McCray got his first CIS goal in that game, on the Saturday game.
Yeah, and he scored the game-tying goal early in the third period in power play, which we, you know, they're a good line. And what I like about them is we can play them against the opposition's top lines, and I don't mind if they play against the opposition's checking lines. These guys are going to see a lot of ice. They all penalty kill. They play power play, and they play a lot of crucial minutes. And a lot of defensive zone situations as well. So there are 3 power forwards that finish their checks, that work extremely hard, and they all play their natural side. So Jeff's a lefty and Tyler's a righty, and I like that because it's easier to chip pucks off the wall and come down speed on your natural side.
And on the Friday night, one thing that had to be nice for you was you got goals out of 3 lines. So your assessment of Jordan Ingles, Brendan Sawhney, and the newcomer Scott Wasden from Medicine Hat. Your assessment of their role as the third line.
You're right. Anytime that you can get contributions from all your lines, that's the most important. I've always said that we have to score by committee, and that's what we did, especially on Friday night. And that's one of the reasons why we were successful. We need Scott Wasden's line with Jordan Ingles and Brendan Sawhney to be a forechecking line, to be a presence, to be in their face, to get greasy goals. And if they can contribute a couple of goals every weekend, we'll be fine.
And your assessment, touch on Justin McCrae, but you've got your three rookies all playing on three different lines, in Max Grassi on the second line, Justin McCrae, and Scott Wasden on the third line. Your assessment of how those players really fit in on the weekend?
Well, they all bring us something different. Max Grassi is a highly skilled one-on-one player, and what I mean by that is he likes to attack with a lot of speed. He likes to control the puck in the corners. He's probably our best player at keeping the puck and walking out of the corner from the cycle, and he's very dangerous from that, and he makes his line mates better because he attracts attention and then dishes it off, and I really like that about Max. And Scott Wasden is just your prototypical power centerman, finishes his hits, he knows exactly where the puck's going to be. He's very good off the puck. He's always in the right spot. And Justin McCrae, he's a third rounder by Carolina.